So we're on Chafalav Amid Beis, Imsachim, first line. Reb Yezer, Reb Chanina, the machlokas between Reb Yeshua and Reb Yezer about whether you can save the truma by making it tameh before it hits the chulin is dafka where it was falling lepachot mimea sa'ah chulin tameh. Remember that the shear of 100 to 1 is what we need in order to be mevatel truma. Opposed to the normal shishim of yirumachma because it's truma, but if you've got 100 times more chulin, so then the chulin is not going to be destroyed. Only the truma is going to be destroyed. So in that case, divrei hakol teired v'titamei v'ayitamei b'yad. Then we never said that you're allowed to be mitamei the truma. Let it fall in, because anyway, the chulin won't be ruined. And we said that the reason for the heter was because of the hefset of the chulin, which will not take place. Tanya Namiachi, and the Baraita confirms, chavit shenishbara begata el yonah, where in a case where you have mea chulin, 100 times as much chulin underneath it, that are tmeim, over there, now this is very confusing, over there, Rabbi Eliezer is moted to Rabbi Yoshua. That's ridiculous. It's Rabbi Yeshua as mother to Rabbi Eliezer, no? I mean, Rabbi Eliezer was always the one who said, no, you can never be Matamid Biyadayim. So the Gemara is going to ask this in a moment, but it seems we got ourselves confused here, that Rabbi Eliezer is mother to Rabbi Yeshua. She'im yochola atzil mimen revias b'tahara yatzil. If he would be able to get a revias and save it, he can save it. And if not, let it go down into Tameh, and do not be Matamid Biyadayim. Says the Gemara, what? The world? What do you mean, Moda Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua? You're trying to say that Moda Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, right? That in this case, since nothing's going to go wrong, it's okay for you, you have no choice but to just let it and become Tamei Biyadayim. Become Tamei instead of Biyadayim and Mela, but I mean, like, you know, what's the big deal? What's the Kiddush here? Omar Rava, it must be backwards, because obviously Reb Yeshua would be the one that would have to be Reb Eliezer. Not that there's any point in saying to Reb Eliezer that you should save it b'taira. Obviously, there's no chiddush in that. Ravuna Breda, Reb Yeshua, no. You made a mistake. Leolam Lo Table, you misunderstood what's going on over here. You were wrong. I wasn't referring to the part about being Meida, that you let it become tummy. It's talking about that he's made that if, and exactly what it says, he's made that even though there's a problem and it's close to being Matamit Biyadayim, nonetheless, it's Kedai to take the chance and to be, save it in a Kli that is a problematic Kli. What it's talking about over here, you're supposed to use your imagination. We're talking about a Kli that was a Mekabel Tumah from Mashkin. Remember the strange situation where you're a Mekabel Tumah from Mashkin? Is that the outside, if it's touched by the Mashkin, becomes Tummy, the inside doesn't become Tummy. So now, question is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, where you're never supposed to do anything that would be Metami, the Truma, be a Daim. Would he agree that in this case, if you could try to save, now I know it's a little iffy, because I mean, if Lamaisa the Truma ends up sprinkling on the outside, it could end up, you're being Metamit Biyadayim, right? Rabbi Eliezer is very careful not to be Metamit Biyadayim. But would Rabbi Eliezer agree that if there's a good chance that you'd be able to save a Revius Avid Bataira, then it's okay to take a chance on being Metamit Biyadayim? That's exactly what it's coming to address over here. The Rabbi Eliezer is Maita, that I'll take the chance of being Matamid Biyadayim if you may end up actually saving a revias of it. So over here, Maudatema Nigzer Dilmandaga Gabo Bitruma, you might think Rabbi Eliezer would say, no, you're not allowed to do anything. Just let it go down, like I always say, because we don't want you being Matamid that Truma Biyadayim. Over here, how do we know you won't be? Therefore, Kamash Malan, we're not going to make a Gezera. I mean, even though, yes, Rabbi Eliezer is Mach, but not to be Matamid Biyadayim, and he holds that there's still is an Indian of Mishmeret, but we're not going to be gozer not to save it if there's a chance she could save it, even though it may end up becoming tummy. Hadran Allah, wow. We actually finished our first perek in Pesachim. Hadran Allah, Orli Arba'a Asar. Who's gonna react here? Saved by the bell. Wowee. Okay. So we've reached the end of the sugya about the dinim of bittul, the dinim of bedika, and the dinim of the actual biur chametz, to some extent. We still have that little bit left that we were going to talk about the biur being besreifa specifically, because that's nogea, the din of the chametz, and that's something we're going to be talking about now. So let's get to the details of what is the din of the chametz. Forget about what you're supposed to be doing with it. What is the din of the chametz on Erev Pesach? The relationship to later on in the parak, we'll see. First, we're going to start off with the Yisurei Hanoah, and that is going to be very fascinating. That is going to be actually a review of all of the places in the Torah where there is a relationship between the Yisurei Achila and Yisurei Hanoah, because over here we have this gradual shows to Rabbanan, in which some of the time it's Aser B'Hanoah, but some of the time it isn't Aser B'Hanoah, and that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. So because of that, this is a great place for us to examine the interrelationships of Yisurei Achila and Yisurei Hanoah. Do they always go together? Can they actually be separated? What is the marker for places where we say something is Aser B'Hanoah and other places we say it's Mutar B'Hanoah? So it's a very, very varied week coming up with a lot of the sugyas from all over Shas about different substances that have Yisurei Achila or Yisurei Hanoah. And then we'll go later on and we'll get back to talking about the dinim of matzah, chometz, and so on. But now we start off with the mission that we actually already examined earlier, and we know about the shitas of this mission. We finally got to it. Kol sha'ah shemutar le'echol. So as long as you are allowed to eat, you can actually also feed your animal, and that means it's mutar b'hanoah. Obviously, if it's mutar le'echol, then it's mutter to feed your animal. Now, that's rather obvious. So, of course, the point in the Mishnah is really the implication that the moment that it's not mutter for you to eat, at that moment, it is not mutter for you to feed your animal. That's the implication, and that's the main chiddush. But, of course, that drags us right back into the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's just not a fair statement. There is that whole fifth hour, which is different than the sixth hour, according to him, where we have times where it's actually mutter for hana'ah, but it's not mutter to eat. So right away, we're thrust into what we thought we knew, the earlier machlokas. So what you'd be allowed to do while you're allowed to eat it is obviously feed it to your animal, or feed it even to a chaya, wild animal, which is a little weird, because, I mean, does that include a cat or a rat? Because if it does, then it sure makes a joke out of the whole story that we had before. Make sure that the rat doesn't pick up a piece of that chametz. I mean, if you're not to give it to a rat, what happens if the rat runs away and puts it into a hiding place or something? So we'll have to talk about that. What kind of chai are we talking about? And to birds. And you could sell it to a guy, make money off of it. And in general, it's mutar b'hana'ah. Once over zmano. Now, that's not clear. Over Zmano, is that talking about the seventh hour? Is that talking about the sixth hour? All we're going to see in the Gemara. Over Zmano, it's Osir Bahana'ah. So at that point, you're not allowed to be Nene. And Lo Yasik Botan Nor Vikirayim, which seems a little bit weird. I mean, you just said it's Osir Bahana'ah. So obviously, you can't use it to heat up your stove and to cook on it. But isn't that a Hana'ah? Like, what in the world is the Chiddush of that? Very, very strange. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer? No. All of a sudden, we're talking about biur chametz in the middle of the mission. It's discussing the din of the chametz. That's also very strange. And we're going to see that these two statements are actually interrelated. The lo yasik bo tanur v'kirayim is actually a meaningful statement only because, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, ein biur chametz el esreifa, as we're going to see. V'chachomim omrim, the chachomim say, no, there's nothing specific about getting rid of chametz through burning it. You could be mifareret and zorah l'ruach. You could crumble it up, throw it to the wind, or put it down the toilet, or matil l'yam, whatever you want, as long as you have done your mitzvah biur. So now let's analyze the Mishnah. Kol sha'ashu mutar le'chol ma'achil. Okay, I mean, that's rather clear. I mean, how could we possibly think that you're allowed to eat it, but you're not allowed to be nene from it and feed it to your animal? I mean, so the whole point, therefore, is the deal. The diak is, but that implies that kol sha'ash eino mutar le'chol eino ma'achil, meaning that there's a direct correlation between the isra achila and the isra hana'ah. But that is not true according to Rabbi Yehuda, which seems to be saying that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but is like Rabbi Meir, correct? Because, I mean, the Rabbi Yehuda, What about the fifth hour? During the fifth hour, you're not allowed to eat the chametz, but you are allowed to be machil to your behemah because he says it's mutar b'hana'a. Ditznan, I mean, that's the Mishnah we had before. Rabbi Meir Omer, ochlin kol chamesh, v'sorfin b'tchilat shesha. Yes, according to Rabbi Meir, it's all very binary. Either it's mutar completely or it's also completely. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, ochlin kol arba, tolim kol chamesh. So your tailing means you don't eat it, but you're allowed to be nena from it. V'sorfin b'tchilat shesh. So it seems that we had that Mishnah before, where we had Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and now all of a sudden we're presented with a Mishnah that's telling us, but forget about Rabbi Yehuda, we don't paskin like that, and they're totally correlated. You can't eat, you can't be nana. Excuse me, but no, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda and not unlike Rabbi Meir. I mean, that's what you implied. I mean, obviously it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. What you were implying was, as Tosfos points out, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, but it is like Rabbi Meir, because you brought that Mishnah and everything, but it's not like Rabbi Meir either. Because Elamai, Rabbi Meir, he? So then, how do you explain the language in the Mishnah? As long as you are allowed to eat it, then you can feed it. I mean, what do you mean allowed to eat it? Just say, I mean, the beautiful way to say it is, you're trying to point out correlation. So what are you throwing it in a mutter? Just say, that's all. That brings out the correlation much more powerfully than say, well, as long as there's a heter for achila, then you're allowed to be nene, which is it's just stam, not saying anything. It should say called zman she'ochel ma'achil, right? But by saying it this way, the implication is that as long as there is a heter achila, not for you maybe, I wouldn't say as long as you can eat, you can feed, because that's not true. Because there are definitely times where you could continue to be nene, exactly like Rabbi Yehuda said, even though you can't eat it, if somebody can eat it. Now, who would that somebody be? Well, that's another shita, which is Rav Gamliel. Omar Rabba Barula, actually, the mission seems to be going a little bit to Rav Gamliel, because Rav Gamliel speaks about a difference between chulin and truma. So he says, look, I mean, Rav Yehuda is right, partially, in that, if you're talking about the dinner of truma, so I would say like this: chulin can be eaten during the fourth hour, truma can even be eaten in the fifth hour, but chulin can't be, and then you have to be served b'tchilat shesh. So if we're talking about truma, then I would agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so then you can say that the Mishnah means as long as a kohen is mutter to eat his truma, then I, a Yisrael, am allowed to be nana. That's perfect. That's Rabbi Gamliel all the way. So, then a Yisrael can be machol chulin behemah l'chayel ofot. There's no other way to explain that word mutar, because, I mean, it's just a complication. Okay, great. So we've got a Mishnah now, a libet Rabbi Gamliel. As long as anybody is allowed to eat it, then you are also allowed to be nena. But, I mean, do we really need to say separately, you can feed it to a behemah, you can feed it to a chaya, you can feed it, I mean, just say you're allowed to be machil. No, you see, I do need it. Because there are other issues that you need to take into consideration. Look, if I feed it to my animal, okay, then it's my domesticated animal. My domesticated animal doesn't feel any pressure to run around. But cows don't take their food and hide it, you know. They expect to be fed on time, and they don't have any awareness about the need to worry about losing out on food later. So if I'm feeding my cow, where if any chametz is left over, I'm going to be able to get rid of it because I just walk into the barn and I see the chametz is there. But if I feed it to my dog, okay, I mean over there, he may hide what it is that I give him, you know, because he wants to make sure he's got it later. You know, it's like every dog runs and digs up something, puts a bone under the ground. They may do the same thing to the chametz. So then in that case, I have to worry that I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to burn it in time. So maybe over there, I would say I can't feed a chaya. And on the other hand, if it would have said chaya, so over there, look, if a chaya does end up not feeding the chametz that I'm giving it, so then at least it is going to be hidden somewhere. And if it's hidden somewhere, I'm not going to have to worry about being over on Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh, right? because as soon as I find it, we can get rid of it. But I don't know where it is. So there's no problem of Bayi Matzah. I don't see it. There's no problem of Bayi Ra'eh. I mean, what exactly is the issue? So maybe over there, I would say, okay, in the unlikely event that I won't know where it is, it's not so bad. But if I feed the behemoth and I forget to check up, I just made the assumption that the behemoth is going to finish it. Then it turns out it didn't finish it. And I never worried about it, that it was going to be left over. Now, there's two different girsaot over here. One is lo masik adaite. Lo masik adaite is our girsa. It's not Rashi's girsa. And the word lo masik adaite means that I would never have thought that it's going to leave it over. So then I won't end up getting rid of it. And then I'm going to be over on Bayira Bayamatse. So then maybe I shouldn't be allowed to leave it. Now that girsa leads to a problem, because Tosa says, what do you mean you'll be over on Bayira Bayamatse? I mean, aren't you going to be mevatel it anyway? I mean, then everybody's mevatel their chometz, right? So you're not going to be over anything. So why does he want to say it that way? So Tosa says, look, I mean, in the event that the guy won't be mevatel, some people do forget to say the girsa of the beetle after they burn it, you know? And since they had specifically left out anything that would be left over the night before, they say, I'm only being mevatel the chometz I don't know about. So if they forget to say the beetle, so then they're going to be over. By the way, there's another problem over there, just in practical terms, you should be aware of. If the sreifas chometz goes on too long, then it may be too late for you to say the beetle. Because once the chometz becomes osur bahana'ah, then indeed it isn't yours anymore. So how could you be mevatel it, right? It would be a problem. Okay, so this is something that we'd have to worry about, which according to Tosis is a little bit strange, because the Gemara could have said, as Tosis points out, since remember, according to Tosis, the reason that we do the bedika in the first place is because you may find the food during chametz and eat it. According to Rashi, the reason that we did the bedika is because we don't trust people to do the bittul properly, since bittul is an exercise in mind, and many people don't have minds. Well, they may have minds, but they don't know how to use their minds. So anyway, Rashi's girsa over here is not lo masik adaite, it never occurs to him. Rashi's girsa is v'lav adaite, he won't have it in mind to be mevatalit. That's the problem in the Rashi. And because of that, it's actually a slightly different point. He doesn't think about being mevatalit because he thinks that what you're supposed to be doing over here is to actually go out and burn it. And that's a completely different issue. So, okay, we'll see. Rashi discusses that issue later on as well. Okay, anyway, continues the Gemara. You could sell it to a goy. Well, I mean, why don't you just say it's mutar b'hanah? I mean, do you really have to spell out everything that mutar b'hanah means? Why would I think you're not allowed to sell it to a goy, for heaven's sakes? It's not my chometz. What would be the problem? Because there is a problem. La'afuke me'ai tana. There is a machlokes tanoim about whether there's an issue of selling to a goy. And here's the problem. The tana. Beit Shammai omrim, lo yimkor adam chimtzo l'nochri, the problem is that before, according to Beit Shammai, he holds that you have a mitzvah to get rid of your chometz, meaning it shall not be extant. Not that it shall not be yours, but that if it was yours, then you have to see to it that it's destroyed. And we don't paskin that. And this is not the Tana that we're referring to here, because Beit Shammai, b'mokom Beis Hillel, in a Mishnah. Beis Hillel says, what's the problem? Kosha ash mutar lecho mutar limkor. Okay, but the problem is this. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bitera omer, kutach, v'chol mine kutach, asur limkor, shloshim yom kodem lepesach. So, the problem is like this. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bitera, essentially, he paskins here like Beit Shammai. This is how Rashi understands it. He paskins like Beit Shammai, except that he holds that normally you don't have to worry about it, because things that you sold to someone, you can assume he's going to eat. But kutach, which is a dip, and it's a very sharp dip, and it's eaten slowly, so that, you need to assume, is going to take a month to finish. So don't sell kutach if it's within the 30 days before Pesach. Once you're already b'chuyav to deal with the issues of your chametz. This is how Rashi learns, which means that according to Rashi, we really are worried about a shita alibet beit shamai. Tosfos says, no, no, no. That's not the point. The point is that Reb Yehuda actually goes like Beit Hillel. And that's what the Gemara is concerned about. Reb Yehuda's shita is that, look, it's true that there's no problem in having what was once your chametz be around during Pesach. If somebody else owns it who's a goy, that's crazy. We paskin like Beit Hillel. But the problem is when it comes to kutach. Now, kutach was very similar to the idea today of chumus. All right, so let's say chumus, everybody makes chumus in a special way, you know? So that's naftoli's chumus, and that's shalom falafel's chumus, and so on and so forth. And because of that, the shame of the maker was on the kutach. It was a very, very gourmet kind of dish that was very popular, and everybody made it in a very special way. So if you've got so-and-so's kutach, so then, since it looks as if you've been making this kutach during Pesach, if people are eating your famous kutach, so because of that, we make this gezeira. But it has nothing to do with the ikur din, the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So, okay, so therefore, according to Tosfos, the chiddush would be in the Mishnah, we don't worry about any kind of food whatsoever. If it isn't owned by you, it doesn't matter if it's extant during Pesach, even if it's well known that it's your food. Okay, so then you say that it's mutter bahana'a. I mean, that's absurd. You just gave me a whole list of things that you can do if it's mutter le'achol, and including making money off of it, feeding it to your animals. I mean, obviously, it's mutter bahana'a. Pshita. No. You don't understand. This is a tremendous chiddush. It means it's mutter bahana'a if you get rid of your chametz by burning it, meaning you don't really destroy it completely. You just went ahead and you were chorcho kodim zmano. So here it is, Erev Pesach. You put the chametz in to burn. It didn't burn completely, okay? But it's no longer roi for achilas kelev. So now what? Do I have to worry about it, or am I allowed to actually be nene from it? And that's the chiddush, that after the Zman of Isser, you could still be nene from your chametz, as long as you were chorcho. The Omer Rava, chorcho kodem zmano, mutar bahana'a afilu li'achar zmano. That's what the Mishnah is saying. But if avar zmano, then it's asur bahana'ato. Well, obviously, aren't we talking about over here the Isser of Achila? There's an Isser of Achila. Once there's an Isser of Achila, it's Isser Hana'a. So now we're talking it out? Isn't that pshita? Well, not fully, because lo tzricha l'sha'ot rabbanan. The chiddush over here is that we're talking about the period of the rabbanan's iser. And by the way, I just want to tell you that the word pshita, Rashi doesn't like. And the reason that Rashi doesn't like it is because we're going to see that there are actual shitas in the Gemara, namely Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who doesn't hold that chometz is osur b'ana, even during Pesach. So you can't say pshita on something that is going to be a major sugya that's coming up about, like, do we really know that it's osur b'ana? I mean, obviously I need to know that it's osur b'ana. So therefore, Rashi says, don't write pshita here. You can't call it pshita. You're just telling me halacha. Okay, so what's the chiddush of the halacha? That's the only thing you can say. That's something that we hadn't discussed earlier in the Mishnah. Tosfos says, no, it still makes absolutely good sense to say pshita. Because basically, because of the fact that in the previous perek, it said beferish, that we have this mitzvah of biur chometz specifically, why would we have to burn our chometz if it's mutar ba'ana'a? So, in other words, the entire Masechet until now has been predicated on an assumption that chometz demands getting rid of. I mean, if I'd be allowed to sell it during Yontif and keep my store open and make money, and so why would I burn it? So therefore, we know by now that chametz must be osir. That's why it's saying pshita. Okay. In any event, though, what exactly would be the chiddush in this case about being matir it, telling me that it's bedavka osir bahana'a, since that's been our assumption over here throughout the Mishnah? Well, the chiddush is that you need to know that even though we're talking about these extra hours at the Rabbanan Asr, since Rav Gidl Amar Rav Chibar Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan said that HaMekadosh B'Shesh Shaot Olmal Afilu B'Chita Kurdenaita Ein Choshishin L'Kiddushin. So the Chiddush over here is that you should not think that the Isser D'Rabbanan is an Isser on what you do with things, but is not an Isser that defines your ownership of things. The Rabbanan said, okay, don't eat it and don't do anything to be nene from it. It doesn't mean it's not mine. Kormash Malan, it means an Isra'ano like all Isra'ano. And therefore, even Chite Kordanaita are very hard. And look, the most that's going to happen if water fell on it, you're going to have to be Chayshish. Water fell on it, so therefore I'm going to have to be machmir not to eat it, right? Because it may be chomet during this period of the Isser. But I mean, if I go ahead and I'm a Kaddish, a woman on it, I could still sue her and claim that, well, how do you know that it was Osir? So kamashmalan, it since lamaisa it's unusable, ain't kosher l'kedushin. That's the bottom line. It's as if you don't have any monetary value in it. The Mishnah wants to tell me it's a real Isser or not. Then this is ridiculous. I mean, obviously you can't use it to heat your oven, can you? So here we see the interrelationship of the next words in the Mishnah, which does not belong here, right? You're like, why in the middle of discussing what the din is of the chametz are we suddenly saying ein bir chametz ela sreifa? But the point is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds ein bir chametz ela sreifa, so salka daita chamina, hovi amar Rabbi Yehuda mitzvato b'sreifa, b'hadi dekasori floy lisani mine. Look, the chachomim, when they asserted this Isser Hana'a, it's not that they want to asser the Isser Hana'a. What they're saying is, since you need to be getting rid of your chametz, you cannot do anything with it. Okay, but if I'm getting rid of my chametz, this is the only way to get rid of it. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the way to get rid of your chametz is to burn it. So you're going to tell me that the Rabbanan said, well, if you're not getting rid of your chametz, you can't be nene from it. Okay, but I'm getting rid of my chametz, so maybe I can be nene from it as I'm getting rid of it. And there the Rabbanan didn't make an Isser. That's the Chiddush Kamash Malan, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no Heter v'lisani mine, and there's two completely separate issues, Isra Achila, Isra Ana, and then the Chiyav of Sreifa. Omar Chizkia, how do we know this? How do we know that chametz b'Pesach is Otzer Ba'ana'a? Forget about the Shaul's, the Rabbanan. I understand that Rabbanan added a Gezera. But where does the whole halacha come from that there is an Isra Hana'a? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, don't be nene from chametz. So why are we making that a given? Well, Tinemar, lo ye'achel chametz. Remember it says, well, what is velo ye'achel? It's a very strange way of saying things. Chometz shall not be eaten. It says like Pentagonese or something. What did it just say? Lo yochal chametz. I mean, chometz shall not be eaten means that you cannot actually have something that would allow you to be able to come to achila. So basically, that would mean that if you're getting any kind of money out of it, so then it would bring you to achila. You can't use that chometz to bring you to achila, is what it's saying. So if I take this chometz, translate it into cash, and then I go and I buy something with it that's not chometz, it's still going to be aser, because it's bringing me this chometz is now ye'achel. And that is achila. Not the achila for the chometz, but the chometz cannot serve achila. That's the point. Okay, so if that's the case, I now know that it's Osir Bahana'a. Lo yeibo heter achila. Wait a minute. You're telling me that only because of the strange phraseology of lo yeachel, It shall not come to be food, essentially, not come bring you to eating. And if it would have just said, don't eat, then I wouldn't have known that it was Osirbana. Holokatav lo yachel, you would have assumed, avamin yisra achila mashma yisra no lo mashma. Now, that opinion of Chizkiah is arguing on the famous sheet of Rabbi Abbahu, because Rabbi Abbahu says the word lo yochal, not ye achel, lo yochal, lo tochal, lo tochlu, any of those formulations without any kind of strange meanings that are marumas in the grammar, instantly means isra achila, isra hana'a, unless you're told otherwise. Because note that when the Torah wants you to understand that when you're told not to eat, that you are allowed to be nene from the food, it says so. Because look what happens when we're talking about the dinim of an nevela, the Tanya. We have this pasuk that says, lo tochlu kol nevela, lager asher b'sha'arecha titnena ve'achala, to the ger give it and he will eat it, o mechor lanochri, or sell it to a goy. Now, the ger asher b'sha'arecha obviously is talking about not a ger tzedek, it's talking about a ger toshav. So that's somebody who has not been mekabel tayarg mitzvahs, but and therefore eats nevela, but has been mekabel the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach, and therefore has a right to be in Eretz Yisrael, and you have a chiev of v'chai. He is supposed to, you're supposed to see to it that you give him tzedakah, you take care of him, and so on and so forth. Good. Now, before we go further, I want you to look carefully at that pasuk and see the strange grammar. What comes first, the object or the verb? Well, it says, la gera shebesharecha titnena. The ger is the object. In Hebrew, we don't usually put the object before the verb. And in fact, the continuation of the pasuk has a standard phrase, o mechor la nochri. The nochri is the object and follows the verb of mechira. So why in the world did the pasuk like do it that way? If you're telling me that there's two dinim over here, at least keep them at the same grammar. So it should have said, you know, lo tochlu kol nevela, titnena la ger b'sha'arecha v'achla, o mechor la nochri. But why in the world do we have it half and half? And this is going to be the basis of the diyukim that we're making. But meanwhile, one thing is clear. The Torah says, don't eat it, give it away or sell it, right? So, I mean, do I need to be told to give it away or sell it? Yes, because if not, I would have thought I'm not allowed to, because it would be asur ba'ana'a. That's the whole point that Rabbi Abbahu is making. Because apparently, if the Torah would not have told you that you could just sell it, I would have thought I'm not allowed to sell it. Why would you have thought such a thing? Because it says lo tochal. And apparently that would have included an Isra'ana. The Tanya, lo tochlu kol nevela la gera shebisharecha titnena ve'achala o mechor lanochri. So let's first take a look at how we understand the two parts of the pasuk. Ainly, first of all, we understand Rabbi Abbahu, right? Rabbi Abbahu is just saying he's not getting into these details. We're going to get into the details, and therefore we're going to make things tough for Rabbi Abbahu. But Rabbi Abbahu is just pointing out, look, the fact is the Torah had to give you a heter after only telling you an Isra Achila. So what I see from there is an Isra Achila is automatically an Isra Hana unless you know the heter. Fine. Now, but what does the heter mean? So, we have the simple question. It seems to be that we're stressing in the pasuk to the ger titnena, or to the nochri mochor, right? Which would mean you're limited to that. You can't do it the other way around. How do we know that you can even sell it to the ger? You don't have to give it to him. So the ger b'mechira minayin, Talmud Lomar, look at the way that the pasuk is written. Lager asher b'sharecha titnena o mechor. By writing the object before the verb, you can include both verbs of titnena and mechor to the same object, right? So that's obviously the point, is that I now have allowed you to do either way. And in then putting the later object of the nochri at the end, then I also come out with l'nochri b'netina minayin. And how do I know that if I want to, I can just give it to the goy? Talmud Lomar Titnena V'Achala O Mechala Nachri. So that way both verbs can apply to both objects. Beautiful construction of the pasuk. So we got both. Nimtzeta Omer. So apparently what it's saying is Echad Ger V'Echad Nachri. You can either sell it, you can either give it. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's crazy. It can't mean that. Because then why does it separate it? Rabbi Yehuda says, Dvarim kichtavan. The pasuk means exactly what it means. It's saying, Leger benetina lenochri b'mechira. Why doesn't he like the diak of Rabbi Meir? Because he says, look, Isaac adaita k'diyam Rabbi Meir. So then why didn't the Torah keep the wording and put it all together? Lichta rachmana. Leger asher b'sharecha titnena v'achla u'mechar. Right? Because now we're saying you can do either. Why are we saying oh? Oh, Makar means that no, it's not the same. It's oh, and that is now a different din. Oh, Makar led nochri. So Shema Amin al Advarm Kichtavan. The oh means you've got two options. Either sell to the guy or give to the ger. Rabbi Meir, how does he explain the oh? Rabbi Meir says that actually, the point of the O is lahagdim netina deger lamechira denochri. It means that the Torah is telling you, look, if you've got an option of being able to give something to the ger, so then that's a bigger mitzvah. Give it to the ger. If not, you can do what you want with it, including selling it to a goy. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. I mean, there's a mitzvah to be mechaya the ger, right? So even the ger hata mitzvah lahachayoto. It says ger v'toshav v'chayimach. And that whole pasuk about being sold. So it's supposed to be v'chayimach. You have to take care of him. I mean, I don't need a pasuk over here to tell me that I should give it to the ger if I can. So it must be there for l'dvarim kichtavan. So, kiva the ger ata mitzuve lachyoto, v'nochri ata mitzuve lachyoto, lo tzarech kro, svarahu. Now, let's take a look at how those two approaches to the pasuk impact the way that Rabbi Abo was learning the pasuk, because it sure doesn't seem to work out according to both of them. Because Bishlam al Rabbi Meir says, look, you can do whatever you want. Echad ger, echad nochri, you can either be mocher, you can either give it to, okay, so if we need a pasuk that basically is there to tell me one thing and one thing only, that this pasuk is to tell me a nevela, despite the fact that I told you it's also to eat, is nonetheless mutter to have anah from. What does that imply? It implies what Rabbi Abo said it implies, that if it hadn't told me that it's mutter ba'anah, I would have had to assume that the iser of lo tochal kol nevela by definition implies don't be neheneh. So therefore, this is now a model. Until you're told otherwise, if you're told not to eat, you also can't be nene. But if you're learning it like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not the point of the pasuk. Pasuk isn't here to teach me a heter of hana'ah. Why would there be an iser of hana'ah? The point of the pasuk is to tell me the halacha that I'm not allowed to give it to the goy. And I'm not supposed to be selling it to the ger. That's the point. So it's there in order to teach me. Dvarim kichtavanu diasa. So then how, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would we be able to derive from this pasuk what Rabbi Abo claims that we can derive? Hakol isurin shebetorah, minole da'asurin ba'ana'ah. Where in the world would we know such a thing? Ah, okay. Good point. But remember that we have another pasuk that also basically tells me the same idea. I mean, I can use any number of psukim. Wherever I can show you that the Torah needs to tell me that something is mutter ba'ana'ah, and the only basis I would have had to say it's aser ba'ana'ah is the word lo tochal, I've got my proof. So me, Rabbi Abu, I don't have much of a problem. Let's find another example, okay? Here's another example, because there's no shneikh surah b'im kechad, obviously, because each particular pasuk is a unique case, according to me. Normally, it's aser ba'ana'ah, and you need to be told in case A, case B, case C. Okay, you don't have case A, let's move on to case B. You still see the same idea. And remember the famous pasuk of Lakelev Anshe Kodesh Tiunli Boser Besada Trefalo Tochelu Lakelev Tashlich Unoto. So if it's the case, I mean, You really have to tell me to throw it to a dog? Come on, why not? I'll use it for dog food if it's edible for a dog. No, because actually, it would be oto atamashlich lekelev. Yes, you can put this to a kelev, but you couldn't put a normal iser. You wouldn't be able to feed to a dog. Why not? Obviously, because something that is also for you to eat is also for you to feed to your doggy. So that would mean exactly what Rabbi Abo is saying.